How is everyone doing tonight? The days are getting shorter and shorter, but that's okay. I think fall and spring are like my favorite seasons, just because to see the transition is just so beautiful. Let's pray before we begin tonight. So Jesus, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is present in this place, God, that is present in the homes of those watching, God. I pray that your word will go forth tonight and bear much fruit, God, that our lives would bear much fruit. I thank you, Father, that we are a people who is not only pursued by you, Jesus, but a people that pursues you, God, that Christianity wouldn't be an errand. Christianity wouldn't be a routine. Christianity wouldn't be when I get to it. Amen. But that Christianity will be a pursuit of the person of Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us go to John chapter 15 this evening. I actually brought my physical Bible. Whether I use it or not, I have no idea, but I don't know, sometimes I just miss it, and so I just want to be near it. It's not weird. It's not weird. John chapter 15, we'll just get into it. Verse 1, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Wow, I feel like I gotta pray again, but I'm not. Amen. So Jesus is drawing a picture. Obviously, this is metaphorically because we're not literal branches, but we are spiritual branches connected to the vine that is Jesus. And I'm just, the one thing that sticks out the most, branches stick out, the one thing that sticks out the most is that Jesus says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot reach the Father except through me. You cannot get to the Father except through me. And it's just amazing. If we would just read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible, we can see these amazing connections here in this picture that Jesus draws. You cannot get to the Father who is the vine dresser unless you're connected to Jesus. The unity, the uniformity of the Bible and how it is the same message, the same Jesus, and it's still life-giving and still powerful. If we just took the time to pursue Jesus through reading the Bible, we could see some amazing things that God would love to share with us. God never hides anything so that we don't find it. If there's anything hidden in the world, in the word, it's because we can reach it through intimacy. You know, in the same way, you know, you don't become best friends with someone overnight. It takes time to build that relationship, and over time, these layers, like onions, like ogres. You're not ogres. I just thought of Shrek. But these layers come off, and It's not that my insecurities were hidden. It's just because I had to spend time with you and know that you were trustworthy and know that you were faithful and I know that you weren't going to judge me before I exposed to you some of my deepest hurts and my deepest pains. There had to be some relationship built there for me, for you to see some of my inward parts, some of the secret things. I'm not saying secret things like sins or secret things like, you know, I'm just saying like maybe there's fears or insecurities. In the same way, in that same manner, we are intimate with our Lord Jesus through reading his word, his heart, his spirit. and we can find the deep things, the secret things, the mysteries that Paul talks about through that intimacy, through just reading the Word of God. I feel like I say this every time I'm up here, but this generation lacks intimacy through reading the Bible. We lack that so much. We lack that so much. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus says, I am the true vine. You know what that tells me? That there's a lot of fake vines out there. There's a lot of fake vines. You know what you call a fake vine? Religion. You know what you call a fake vine? Works. It's pride. Jesus completely flips that upside down. Amen. Sorry, if you're taking notes today, the title of today's message is Jesus is the True Vine. So in John chapter 15, verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Jesus is saying being connected to Jesus looks like something. There is a fruit of relationship with Jesus. We'll get into the fruit later. But having a relationship with Jesus looks like something. It produces something. When you are connected to the vine, there's a result. There's a direct result in the form of fruit. And here's the thing. When trees bear fruit, an apple tree doesn't bear apples because it needs to eat apples. The apples aren't for the tree. The apples are for someone else. Yeah. And you can tell, Jesus says in another chapter, you can tell a tree by its fruit. People can see that's an apple tree because there's apples there. Hey, I'm gonna walk up to this tree and take this apple and I'm gonna eat this apple. I wouldn't go up to the tree, oh, don't take those apples. That tree needs those apples to live. No, the tree is sustained already. The apple is the blessing for others. Amen. We're going somewhere. So God the Father looks at the tree that is Jesus and says, every branch that's not bearing fruit, I'm going to take it away because it has no place in him. It's not producing anything. And here's the thing. The branch doesn't need to produce fruit in order to be connected to Jesus. The branch is simply connected to Jesus, and the result is fruit. You can't even make fruit without Jesus. You can't even create fruit, produce fruit, without being connected to the vine. So here's what Jesus is saying. If you're not connected to Jesus, you're not connected to the vine. Jesus is not the source, and so the Father comes and says, you have no part. Takes it away. But even the branches that do bear fruit, every branch that bears fruit, he, what's that word? I'm going to say prunes. Doesn't mean he throws prunes at it. No, prunes, the verb. He prunes it. You know what prunes means? Here's what it means. To cleanse of filth. To cleanse of impurities. Everyone say, I'm a branch. And so if you know... You know how branches have like these little branches? I totally forgot what the word what the word for little branches are. What are they called? Huh? Quids? No. Twigs. Sorry. It's not quigs. But pretty much, so you know, it's you don't see a tree and then the tree has like five branches, like you know, and then each branch has a fruit. No, like each branch has like these. Little branch, huh? Offshoots. Shoots, they're called shoots. There you go. Everyone say shoots. Write down in the chat, shoots. So you have a branch and you have the shoots, right? These shoots, it's what carries the fruit, right? You know how you pull the fruit down and like it's like, right? Those are all shoots. I'm a branch, and I have these shoots. I'm trying to paint a picture for you guys, okay? I'm a branch, and I have these shoots. And so the Father comes to this branch, me, who is connected to Jesus, and he looks at all of my little shoots. This one bears fruit, it stays. This one bears fruit, it stays. This one's not bearing fruit, clip. Because this little shoot, it's not producing anything. I don't know who said this. I can find it. But on this topic, he said, those who are branches connected to the vine will see the hand of God in their life. Those who are connected to the vine will see the hand of God in their life. That is how the Father prunes us, right? He doesn't like look from afar and go, lightning. No, he's gentle. He's lowly of heart. He comes and he examines you. He touches. He feels and he sees. And then he cuts. He prunes. He divides the soul and the spirit. He is gentle. Why does he do it? So you can produce more fruit. And that is our life in Christ, guys. That is how we grow in Christ. When we allow him to cut off these little shoots that aren't producing fruit. Listen to what Jesus says. For without me you can do nothing. But let's jump to verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide means to remain. Abide means to be present. And I was meditating on this specific verse for most of the day, and I could literally just hear Jesus saying, if you would just stay with me. Sometimes we lose the heart of God because we don't understand exactly the words, because we don't use abide in our daily language, right? I abide at church. I abide in Hacienda Heights. I abide in, we wouldn't say that. But if you would look at this scripture with Jesus in mind, with the heart of God, here's what God's saying. If you would stay with me, if you would be present, if you would stay in my presence, you could bear these fruits. God is calling us to stay connected to him no matter what. Amen? All right, we'll move on from that. Everyone say, stay connected. We bear fruit not for ourselves, right? In the same way that a tree wouldn't bear fruit because it needs to feed itself. But the fruit is for others. Everyone say for others. Everyone say for others. Write down in the chat, for others. So that when people see us, they see, oh, look, that is a tree that has apples. It must be an apple tree. Oh, that tree has oranges. It must be an orange tree. In the same way that when we have the fruits of righteousness or the fruits of the Spirit, people see, wow, that person belongs to God. Or, wow, that person spends time in the presence of God. Or, wow, Jesus lives. Or, that person knows Jesus. The fruit is for others, it's not for us. But that kind of fruit can only be produced through intimacy. Amen? Everyone say intimacy. So we need to be a church. Listen, listening to preaching is great. Candace talked about it, you know, in the devotional today. Listening to preaching is great, but listening to preaching is only eating the fruit off of someone else's tree. Fruit that someone else produced, revelation that someone else got. Listening to preaching is great. It is encouraging, but listening to preaching should encourage you to dive deeper into relationship with God. Listening to preaching alone will not sustain you. Because listening to preaching is not meant to sustain you. You being connected to Jesus, that is what sustained you. Listening to preaching may give you some truths. It may give you encouragement. It may help you. God will definitely use that, but that is meant. But that is you eating off of someone else's fruit. Me listening to preaching is not going to help. It's not going to help me. Never mind. I'm not going to get into that. Someone say amen. So we produce these fruits of righteousness so that people can see that we belong to God. And that's what we're called to do, amen? Oh, that's what I was going to say. We need to be a church that moves from a Sunday morning Christianity to an everyday Jesus. Listen, I don't think I'm looking at you. Don't think I'm judging you. Please. I'm not. I promise you, I'm not thinking of anybody, and I'm not even looking out for anybody. I'm really not. But one thought that I feel like the Holy Spirit dropped in me today is, you know, I just thought of me on a Sunday morning, and I hear so many people saying, "Amen, amen, amen." And here's what the Holy Spirit had me write down: does your life reflect what you're saying amen to? Does your life reflect what you are saying amen to? We need a church that doesn't sit in the church. We need a church that's not a building. We need a church that's not a gathering place. We need a church that bears fruit and looks like a Christian, looks like Jesus, looks like a disciple. Amen? John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word," wow, there it is, remain, stay, dwell. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Oh, that verse alone will preach. How do you know if you're a disciple? If you're reading the word of God. Amen. That is clear cut, as clear as you can be. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." One theme that has definitely been on my heart, and I know some of you guys, is, you know, I'll say it this way. Don't pray about any situation until you know the truth. Amen. Do not pray about anything until you know what the word of God says about it. Pray from connection to the truth, not connection to circumstances. Because see, if you're not praying from the truth, then you're praying from a lie. Oh God, I don't know how we're going to make it this month. Oh God, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. You're praying from a place of fear. But if you know the truth, that God, my God will supply all my needs, amen, that because I'm a tither, then he will rebuke the enemy for my sake. He will not devour my life, then you can now agree with what God has already said, and that's where the power is. Amen. Well, what does that have to do with being connected to Jesus? Because we connect with Jesus through his word. And we can now function and live out through truth and not through fear and circumstance. I think a lot of us pray amiss. You know, oh, God, this person, they annoy me so much. I get so annoyed with this person. God, give me patience. One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. God, give me patience. God can't give you something that you're supposed to produce. I'm going to say it again. God can't give you something you're supposed to produce. I think we confuse the gifts of the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit's produced by us through the Holy Spirit. God gives gifts freely. Patience is not a gift. Patience is a fruit. I'm going to say fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's something you produce. It's something you are. It gets completely flipped around if you think about it that way. Because instead of, oh God, this person's annoying me, this person's frustrated, oh, I'm God, give me patience. But when you become patient, and it is what you produce, patience will cause you to not get annoyed in the first place. I was thinking about this, and honestly, like I can't picture Jesus going, oh my gosh, Georgie, you sinned again. Oh, I'm so mad at you. Georgie, seriously, like you told me last time you wouldn't do it again. But I am patient. I'm kind. I'm going to choose to be that. No. God is loving. He hugs you, falls on your neck, kisses you, gives you a ring, gives you robes of righteousness, and says, I see your repentant heart. Come back into my arms. Come back into my kingdom. Come back into the center of my love. Here's what the truth is, that I have set you free. Here's what the truth is that sin no longer has a hold of you. Here's what the truth is that my word will wash you and cleanse you. Here's what the truth is that you are wonderfully and fearfully made. Here's what the truth is that you can live beyond what the natural has for you. Here's what the truth is that you've already overcome and you've already been victorious. That's what the truth is. See, I don't picture God holding, like, I don't picture God being upset and being like, I need to be patient right now. No, he's gentle. He's lowly. He's meek. He's humble. That is who he is. And circumstances don't, his patience doesn't have to overcome frustration because patience already keeps the frustration at bay because that is who he is. Does that make sense? Oh, man, I'm thinking of just when Jesus is standing in front of Pontius Pilate and he says, what is truth? And Jesus just stands there. Jesus doesn't have to say anything. Jesus is the truth. That was good. We need to stay connected. So yeah, don't pray until you know the truth. Is it finances? Is it relationships? And here's the thing. When you know the truth, many times when we're praying for answers that God already gives us gave to us in the Bible. Yeah. I'm dating this guy. Lord, should I keep dating him or should I not keep dating him? Please tell me, Lord. Tell me, Jesus. Just give me a sign. If today it's sunny outside, I know it's you. Or, here, you know what? But yet the word talks about not being unequally yoked. But yet you see in the word what it means to be a disciple. If the person you're dating stopped going to church because you stopped going to church, that tells you a lot. If you stop going to church because they stopped going to church, that tells you a whole lot. If you're always the one initiating prayer, hey, let's pray for our relationship. If you're always the first one initiating it, and like the 3 days that you forget to initiate and they don't initiate it, that tells you something. You guys okay?
Yeah.
We pray for God to give us answers that he's already given us in the Bible.
Yeah.
For example, you know, as you all know, Kenneth and I are getting married very soon. And right now, one of our prayers is, Lord, where are we going to live? She has an apartment, and I could move in there, and that would be fine, and we'll be okay. But we don't want fine and okay. We don't want to settle. We don't want to just, you know, oh, this makes sense. This is a good idea. Let's just do it. No, we're saying, Lord, we're tithers. We're givers. We put our trust in you, and we'll do whatever you want us to do. And so if your will is for us to live in this apartment, that's great. But if you have a house for us, even better.
Amen.
If you have another apartment for us, that's great. Lord, what do you have for our lives? Because here's what the truth is that you promised to be our provider.
Yes, sir.
You promised to direct our steps. You promised to be the light onto our path.
Yep.
See, when you instead of, oh my gosh, like, is this going to work? Are finances going to work out? You get so overwhelmed with emotion that you can't even pray the truth. The truth that sets you free. From your emotion. Amen? oh, where do I go? Where do I go? Everyone say fruit. Oh, I read the scripture today. I had no idea. I'm confessing to you. I had no idea this was in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Check this out. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. I know you guys probably read the second part of it. You're like, wow, that's good. But let's just stick to the first part for a second. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. When people see you, do they see a tree of life or do they see a tree of despair? A tree of worry. A tree of being tossed to and fro by the circumstances. Do they see a tree that's wilting? Do they see a tree that has no fruit? You're like, wow, that tree has no fruit. I have no idea what kind of tree that is. When people see you, what kind of tree do they see? Do they see a tree of righteousness? The righteous is a tree of life. You know what it means? It means that no matter where you go, you're a tree of life. You bring life into every situation that you walk into. So instead of you walking into a family situation and you're like, wow, you know, oof, now I'm frustrated, now I'm missing, now I gotta, you know, lay down the law, now I gotta take control, now. But if you walk into a family situation, I think you know what I'm talking about. You walk into a family situation as a tree of life, humble and meek with the fruit of the Spirit, and all of a sudden that whole situation is diffused, not because you said anything, not because you did anything, simply because that is who you are. You are a tree of life, and you walk in and you change the atmosphere because you're connected to the source. I am not saying things that are far out or out of reach. I'm not talking about things that are, you know, we're not having an existential crisis here. I'm talking about something that's real. If you call yourself a Christian, I guarantee you, at some point in life, you have had a relationship encounter with Jesus. You're like, oh, I was worshiping and I had an encounter with him. I was reading the Bible and wow, he spoke so clear to him. I was listening to this preaching and the words pierced my heart. We know that Jesus is real and that God is true. And I think we just fail to live that out. Wow, I had an amazing encounter with God during worship. Cool. All right. That was awesome, God. Thank you. I feel much better. I'll see you next Sunday. I know he's real, and hopefully my good decisions outweigh my bad decisions. Hopefully I have more good fruit than bad fruit. Amen. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. This isn't two separate sentences, guys. These two parts are connected. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You know what's happening here? You walk into a grocery store. You're paying for your fruit. Keep you buying fruit. You're paying for your food. You notice the cashier has a cast on her hands. You pray for her. She gets healed. Now she wants to come to your church. Now she wants to know this Jesus that just healed her. That is this verse lived out. And that is who we're called to be. Amen? Amen? Amen. How much time do we have? Oh, we have some time. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Angel, can you come up here real quick? Can you jump on the piano? I just feel like the Lord wants us to. I'm gonna pick this up right now. But if you're in your homes right now, And I'm sorry that the Lord's going to disturb your comfort of your couch. I'm not, actually. But here, you can start playing. But could it be that the Lord wants to interrupt our lives because he wants to break through into our lives? My one act of obedience changed my entire life. All it was get on your knees. In the Old Testament, the bush is burning and Moses is walking by it. The bush doesn't speak. Obviously, the bush is the Lord. The bush doesn't speak until Moses gives his attention to it. I'm not saying that's how God works every single time. I'm not saying God will never speak to you unless you give him attention first. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, I pray and I hope that he has your attention right now. So wherever you are, here's what I'm feeling right now. Is that some of you guys might be feeling some conviction. I'm saying, Lord, I haven't always been connected to you. Sometimes I disconnect and sometimes I bear bad fruit and I have shoots in my branches that I gotta cut off, or I have relationships that I gotta cut off. This might be for one person, this might be for many people. But what I feel right now is that you have a heaviness on your heart because you have to decide to cut off some shoots. And you have a heavy heart because you realize that as much as God has pursued you, you haven't pursued him back. So if that's you, just get on your knees right now, wherever you are. You don't have to turn there, but just listen to it. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus gives a parable. He says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Listen to me. If you're on your knees, well, everyone listen to me, but if you're on your knees, especially listen to me. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? In this parable, the man who plants the vineyard is God the Father. And the keeper of the vineyard is Jesus. Verse 8, Jesus answers, I mean, Jesus, metaphorically. But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. Verse 9, and if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. Jesus is in heaven right now interceding for you. He is interceding for you. I don't think he's interceding for your job. I don't think he's interceding for your finances. I don't think he's interceding for your relationships. He's not interceding for anything you're doing. He's interceding for you. He's interceding for your heart. He's interceding for you to know him. When Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, a few verses later he says, if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. Holy Spirit, minister to us right now, God. Minister to us right now. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you and we lift you up, God. We worship you and we lift you up, God. Yeah. Stashio, can you give him yellow when you have a chance? Jesus, we lift you up and we worship you. We lift you up and we worship you. Here's one thing that God put in my heart today is that some of you guys, some of you men are struggling with lust. And your prayer has been, Lord, help me to not look. Help me to not search. Help me to not fantasize. Help me to not think. Help me that my heart may not be turned away towards those things. And I feel God saying, you're so focused on not doing it that you forget to pursue me. We need to change our thinking, guys. That if we would pursue him passionately, pursue that connection, pursue that relationship, pursue that intimacy with him and to be connected to the vine, then God the Father, he himself will just cut off those things that we try so hard to cut off ourselves. Yeah, I know I have a problem with lust, but that Netflix show is just too good. Yeah, I know I get insecure and I know I get afraid and I feel like nobody loves me, but I just like following those accounts on Instagram. Yeah, I know I shouldn't be flirting with her. I know we shouldn't be texting like that. But sometimes, Lord, I just find excuses to go into her office, or I find excuses to text her. Lord, I know I have a problem drinking. But I can't say no to my friends every Friday night. This is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. Jesus, we praise you. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Jesus. For some of you, this is the first time you've actually worshipped in a long time. This is the first time that you've gotten on your knees before the Lord in a long time. And right now you're realizing, wow, I'm so overdue. I have been missing, I have been lacking, I have been worrying, I have been caught up with the world, and I have forgotten to just stop and just get on my knees and just worship. Not because I need anything, not because I want anything. If there's anything I need, it's your presence, Lord. If there's anything I need, it's your forgiveness, God. If there's anything I need, it's your mercy, God. If there's anything I need, is I need to be connected to you. I need to worship you. I need to give my life to you over and over again, every single morning, every single morning moment. God, I give my life to you. I need to fall in love with you all over again. Jesus, I need to value you. how you value me. If that is your heart and that is your prayer, just worship. Just worship. It's not complicated. Don't complicate it. Just sing to him. Just love him. He's worthy of your pursuit right now. He's worthy. He is here in this place. As much as we want to encounter God, even more so, He wants us to encounter Him. We will never know the magnitude of Jesus' desire for us to know Him. We will never understand it. But that is His heart. He wants us to know Him like crazy. That was His prayer. Father, I pray that they would be one with me as I am one with you. That was His prayer. That's His heart. I want to be one with them, God. Just how we are one. Man, you cannot get closer than becoming one. And we miss out on so much. So much. We just forget the God that we serve. We forget Jesus who died on the cross for us. And we fall into the traps of the enemy. We fall into the weights and the sins. We fall into the busyness of life and the cares of the world. When God calls us to walk free, when God called us to be impactful rather than impacted, to be influencers rather than the influenced. Jesus, Jesus. And so as much as we want to encounter God, Jesus wants us to encounter Him even more. So let's do that right now. If that's you, you say, Lord, I want to know you and I want to encounter you right now. Come, I believe that we can have real encounters with the real God. Yeah. I believe we can have a real encounter with the real Jesus. Not one where it's like, oh, I hope I feel something or I hope I hear something. No, let your faith stand on God being true. Let your faith stand on God being real. Jesus has no problem revealing Himself to you. Yeah, but I have doubts. That's fine. Ask for it anyway. Sometimes it's okay to be like Thomas. I won't believe until I touch him. You know what Jesus says? Wow, where's your unbelief? He doesn't say that. Touch me. Put your fingers through these bad boys and know that I am real. Let's do that. So that's you just lift up your hand and say, Jesus, my desire, the desire of my heart is to encounter you right now in the name of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. My heart is open. I am ready to be completely filled to the tippy top with your Holy Spirit so that there's no room for fear and doubt and there's no room for anything else but you, God. Now just wait. The Bible says over and over and over again, wait on the Lord. So let's take a few moments and let's just wait. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is just going to fill your room right now, fill your hearts right now with peace, a presence unlike anything you've ever known. A personal encounter where you know, wow, Jesus is alive. And Jesus is alive in me. Jesus. 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 Come on, he is enough. Jesus is more than enough. He is all you need right now. He is all you need right now. You don't need more preaching. You don't need more prayer. You need Jesus, the Son of God. You need the truth. You need his presence. You need his revelation. You need to know for yourselves that he is real and he's alive in you. So Lord, I pray, Lord, you would make yourself known to every single person right now in every single home, every single person watching right now, Jesus. Right now, Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise, God. We give you thanks and we give you praise, Father, that even right now you are healing and you are mending broken hearts. You are healing body parts. You are healing diseases. You are healing mental disorders. You are healing chemical imbalances. You are healing feet. You are healing knees. You're healing backs. You're healing hips. You're healing elbows and shoulders. You're healing headaches. You're healing issues with vertigo. You're healing lungs. You're healing hearts. You're healing people from cancer right now. Tumors are being dissolved right now as we speak. Anxiety is being cast away right now with perfect love. Depression is being cast away right now with perfect love. Here's a word for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus unconditionally loves you, and you are worthy. You are valuable. You're worthy of his love. You're worthy of his sacrifice. He's saying, you don't have to be afraid. I am with you. And not a, I'm with you in a, I got you. I'm with you. No, no, he's so with you, he's in you. Jesus.